organize a resource fair that was held in New Britain. We had a table, we had staff on the planning committee. There was over 300 participants, you know, well over. It was a very well attended event, which was good to see just in general, being that, you know, we're getting there as far as post pandemic. We also helped organize and participate in a transition resource event that was held in Stanford. There was, I don't know how many participated in that, but a fairly good number as well. And this was for individuals in that area, families with students with disabilities. We also planned a virtual event for Blind America's Equality Day on October 15th. This was geared towards transition students initially, but we invited others as well. The focus was on orientation mobility. So we had staff from BESBE, Chris Lassen, who did a nice presentation on orientation, the history of orientation and mobility in White Cane Safety Day, the history of White Cane and Safety Day, I should say, in orientation and mobility services. We had a presenter from LEAP in Vermont, which is a transition program that is a virtual program in held out of Vermont. We actually had individuals go in person, but they do a lot of virtual programs for our transition students. So they came and spoke and did some fun activities. And we had a couple clients, I think three, discuss their experience with IRA, who we, you know, have partnered with over the last year, which is, you know, an orientation and mobility, you know, tool, you know, kind of geared towards transportation. It's used for other things as well. But the other thing is that we did get a chance, as I kind of mentioned before, to attend the in-person Council of State Administrations for Voc Rehab and National Council for State Agencies for the Blind, which was held the end of October, beginning of November. It was in San Antonio. I went as well as our counselor coordinator. So that was great to be back and collaborate and see what other states are doing. It was a great conference. Before those two, before CSAVR, not necessarily NCSAB, they did do a virtual conference for people who could not attend in person. So we had our state rehab council chair participate in that, along with counselors and some other BESBE staff, and I think as well BRS staff. That was actually a really exciting, you know, occurrence. That was the first time in 3 years, so we're really thrilled to be there, and it worked out very well. Another initiative that we're doing in Voc Rehab over the past few months, which is also part of our state plan goals using innovation expansion funds, is we have been upgrading our tech lab, our VR tech lab. So we've bought in the last 6 months, although it's been, you know, an initiative for a while, we've bought a bunch of upgraded technology. We have now three different Braille displays. We bought a portable Reveal CCTV. We also bought a CCTV, which is you know, something we do as part of our state plan goals, is we keep the Southeastern Center for the Blind up to date on their technology. We purchase it for them for use of, for our clients. So we've been working on upgrading that lab as well. So we did recently buy a Merlin Ultra CCTV, which is already there and people are utilizing. So we're going to continue that goal, but that's where we're at now. And as we mentioned in the technology group, that we are also working on as part of the, a goal is to do more tutorials. So we had done some in the past along that Michelle Laramie had done as well, that are also on our website. And as Lori mentioned, the two that Jolene did, and she's working on the third, are on our website. And when she's complete with that, it will go on our website. You know, we continue to work with employers, like I said, we're now going back out in the field, working with employers in person. And we also have had a couple employers come and speak to our staff in the last two staff meetings. as a national collaboration through the National Employment Team, which is part of CSAVR, and they connect employers to all the VR agencies in the country. So we had two presentations. One was from direct employers, and the other one was from IFP Solutions. Both are looking to hire a number of individuals for virtual employment. So you can be in Connecticut and working in another country, or another country, another state. Could be another country as well, I guess, but another state virtually. So that's it for us.
Thank you, Mary. Those were pretty impressive accomplishments, considering you've lost a third of your staff in the last year. Any questions for Mary?
This is Eileen. I have a couple, but I'll save most of them for when the work group reconvenes. But Mary, for the tech lab, let's say there's somebody, not me, I'm all set, but somebody who wants to see what's available, might be registered with Bestie, but maybe not even an active client. Would they be able to, who can get to the tech lab? Who is it available for?
Our tech lab at Voc Rehab is, you know, because it's purchased by Voc Rehab dollars, it primarily is only available to Voc Rehab clients. But it a lot of the equipment we purchased is designed for individuals to be able to try out certain equipment before they purchase the equipment. So say somebody's working and they're not sure, or about to go to work, they're not sure based on a braille, like braille notes or a video magnifiers, portable CCTVs. There's so many different options. So what we do is our technologists will bring them out to the individual. So we have a technologist down in the southern part of the state who has a bunch of the equipment as well. She locks it up in our BRS office in Bridgeport, but she will bring the equipment out to staff or to clients and show them different devices, and they'll say, oh, I like this one the best. And same with Jolene up in the Hartford region. It's a little different because we actually have a tech lab down up there, so they could actually come to the agency. The only other option we have is the Southeastern Center for the Blind, where we have a various devices. But it could also be used for training. So it was kind of used for different areas, but the intent is actually more for being able to show individuals different devices, so they're able to choose wisely with what they want. In the past, I'll just give an example, which is why we bought so many Braille notes, to be honest with you, is that we have purchased Braille notes for individuals based on looking at video, hearing videos, or just doing different demonstrations, going on the website. We purchase the Braille note, they get it, oh, this isn't for me, we just spent $3,500 and we can't return it. So there's a lot of that happens. Our manufacturers are not always willing to take back that type of equipment. So to avoid that, what we do is we just donate it to our tech lab or do whatever, or give it to another client. But that's one of the areas to make sure that individuals are making the most informed decision on the technology. We do have computers and different equipment available. We also do training in our American Job Centers throughout the state that have assistive technology. So we do have various options to go out into the field and do training as well. So the tech lab is multi-purposed, basically.
Good. Now, the other question I have is, unfortunately, the ERA project is scheduled to end in March of 2023. Is somebody actually in charge of tracking that and talking about what could happen in the future?
We had an interesting discussion about this the other day. So I think in BESB, and I'll let somebody else speak as far as the other system, but I want to speak on behalf of Voc Rehab, because it is primarily probably use mostly with voc rehab and our voc rehab clients. So we certainly do market it and try to get individuals to sign up. The difference being is we're prohibited from purchasing anything that has a data plan per our policy. So we can't necessarily market it to say, please sign up, we're going to pay for it, you know. So
right.
So it's a kind of a fine line with voc rehab, although we certainly, Ira has come to voc rehab meetings. They, like I said, that we had clients come and talk to other, you know, individuals about their experience as a voc rehab client. So we do our best to market it. But as far as everything else, you know, we're kind of stuck there. I don't know if anybody else wants to talk about that as well, but that's from BR's perspective.
But basically, because there really hasn't been a lot of people signed up for the trial, it probably would end as it now stands in March. Is that what the prognosis would be?
The free trial may end in March. I know Lori has her hand up and she has some updates on that because she was working with somebody in that arena, you know, so.
Go ahead, Lori.
Thank you, Steve. So the IRA committee meets twice a month and I've been attending those, and part of our conversation has been around the low number of users. Connecticut has 55 individual discrete users, and they're not really taking advantage of it the way other individuals do in other parts of the United States. So one of the things that we were talking about is how to best reach the consumers, and we are looking at possibly taking a flyer of a sort and making it part of our adult services intake packet. And again, you know what, we're not going to pay for the data plan, and so I don't know that there's an expectation that we will, but we would certainly make sure that people are aware that we're not going to pay for the data plan. The other thing that we were looking at really is identifying who the BESB consumer base really consists of, and then determining which of those consumers are best suited to using IRA. So for example, in my experience, the consumers with whom I work either tell me that they don't go out unattended, or they tell me that they're not proficient with the use of their phones. So they also happen to be 75 to 85 years old, and some of them a little higher. So what we would look at is the data in System 7 to identify the individuals who are best suited to using it. So the digital natives, our younger folks, the transition students, some of our 30, 40, 50-year-old people who are in the IL instead of ILOB program, and then marketing to those individuals, starting out with people who have cell phones and people who have email addresses on file in System 7, which is our data management system, and then communicating directly to them. So IRA is producing a 50 ways in 50 days program, and so as those things begin to roll out, I'll be introducing them to Carol, and then we can make a decision internally about what we think are the best communication strategies for that. But one of the things that we also are trying to look at is the distribution of the client base. So we know that perhaps Metro North is not going to have a lot of IRA users in, I don't know, New Preston or Marbledale or one of those, Sharon or one of those other towns that's in North or Northeast or Northwestern Connecticut. So really targeting the focus for that. And then focusing secondly on the essential services that IRA supports. So it's not strictly for transportation, but that really is the main thrust because that's where the money comes from.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Mary? Very good. Thanks for excellent report, Mary. Our next item on the agenda is CV-19 updates and safety protocols. Do we still abide by those? Do we still advertise if we abide by those? Andrew, I think you were the last person to deliver a report on that. You know what the status is. We might want to take that off the agenda.
Yeah, I was tempted to suggest taking it off, but I didn't think I'd make that decision. We, of course, the contact rate of COVID, the people contracting COVID, has not gone away. I believe it is right now the third highest killer in the United States at 100,000 per year. But obviously, people's lives have shifted back closer to normal and continue doing so. The only time I put on a mask, I think, is in a doctor's office, and they can be quite strict about it. But that's the only place that I experience it. So we don't really have too many protocols. We are on the watch that if we were any of our offices in a county with a high spread rate, I'm ready at any time to put up a sign in the door saying wearing a mask is strongly recommended. That's what will happen if Harford County in this office, or maybe another ADS office or BRS office elsewhere, if that county is regarded as having a high transmission rate. Harford County has not yet had a high enough transmission rate since they started that idea about, I don't know what, months and months ago, of perhaps putting up a sign recommending mask wearing. We still have
community levels. Andrew, Kathleen evaluates them weekly to make sure that what we get from DPH and CDC that we're looking to see if any of our counties are at that level, and she sends something out to the managers in those areas at least once a week.
So, and in fact, I had misjudged it. At the very beginning, I put up a sheet of paper saying please, only to find out that Harford County wasn't at the level. I kind of misread the announcement. So I await doing that, but I haven't had to, based on Kathleen reporting that we are below. And so we don't really have any big issues. We do make available to people who might like masks and sterilizer. Why can't I say the right word for that? The Purell.
Hand sanitizer.
But I'm not getting too many requests for that. So if you want to take it off the agenda, I wouldn't tell you shouldn't.
Well, since we're at the height of the transmission season right now, the next time we meet will be in March as spring is approaching. Without objection, I'm going to take it off the agenda. And if somebody thinks we should put it on the agenda, please, by all means, get in touch with me or Latanya between now and when we post the agenda for March's meeting, which will be somewhere around the last week of February or the first week of March.
Okay.
Any other questions with regard to CV-19 updates? Hearing none, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. That is the budget update. Carol, that is your item. Feel free to tag team with Andrew, who gave our last budget report. The floor is yours.
I say, Andrew, I'm going to defer to you because I haven't had a chance to meet with Fiscal yet to get any budget training. So.
Well, my paycheck's cash. So just to focus on what matters most. By the way, I understand that the programs for our clients are also quite important. Don't get me wrong. High importance. Actually, I don't know whether Amy might want to jump in. So we're in a situation where soon enough, the people at the Office of Policy and Management would digest any requests we have for the next budget year starting July 1st, 2023, a biennial budget. And then the governor would present that budget to the world, to the public, in perhaps the first week of February. Sometimes that gets delayed, but it's often the first week in February, that Wednesday, where he gives a budget address a month after his inauguration. But that's all kind of closely kept. But we don't have any shortfalls, or there's no, you know, discussion of layoffs or what have you. Obviously, as you can all hear, for the last many months, we're talking about filling positions. Really, I wouldn't have much of an update to give because we're just waiting now, and I know it's a couple of months off, but we're waiting now for the governor's budget presentation in the first week of February. That's when there'll be news next. Unless some weird, large event occurs, that's the next time there'd be news. So I don't have a lot to report to you except that the finances of the agency are currently in good order. But if Amy wants to add or correct me,
I do not need to correct you. I think it's probably enough at this point to say that the budget is stable, and we will get the governor's budget, proposed budget in February, and so at the March meeting we can share that, and Carol will have had a chance to meet with our fiscal manager, who is also brand new. That position has been filled as well, so we'll be able to provide more of an update at that point.
Excellent, thank you. Any questions regarding the budget? Hearing none, our next item is the legislative update. Andrew, the floor is yours.
Well, my paychecks are, oh no, I'm sorry. I don't have any thing to report other than to say that ABS is not proposing any specific legislation for the next session. That doesn't mean that we might not be taking various stances on legislation that comes forward. Maybe once again, there'll be legislation regarding the reclassification of guide dogs as service animals and adopting the federal definition. That's a bill that's been out there. It didn't quite become law last year. That was not an agency bill, but obviously a bill of interest to people who are blind, well, or deaf, or have a mobility impairment. And so that's something we might be paying attention to. Of course, lots of times people submit legislation regarding blindness or deafness or aging, and we pay attention and react to those bills. But at this point, again, I don't have anything to report. More likely there'd be much more to report come late January and then through early June.
Questions on the legislative update? Hearing none, thanks Andrew, and thank you Amy for the supplementary report along with Carol. Our next item is points to the good and welfare. Anybody have something to share regarding points to the good and welfare? Any announcements you'd like to make? Yes, Steve, go ahead.
Stephen, I just want to wish everybody a safe and healthy holiday season, and we look forward to working with you 2023. Thanks for what everybody's doing.
Thank you for that, Steve. And any other points to the good and welfare? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Eileen Akers, so moved.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn. Do we have a second?
Second.
This is Catherine Guzman. I second.
Okay, Catherine Guzman seconds. Since the motion is not debatable, the only way we can vote it down is if anybody objects. Hearing no objections, we are adjourned until next spring. Everybody enjoy your holiday season. Happy holidays to one and all. Happy winter and stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Bye, everyone.
Happy holidays, everybody. Take care.
Take care.